Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's Nima Vidati here smack dab in the heart of Texas. We've got Michael W. Dean out there in the wilds of Wyoming. What are you doing today, Mr. Dean?
I'm just, you know, dealing with the internet.
Dealing with the internet, these darn computers.
I kind of feel like
building the roads.
I was, but, you know, there's so many things to do. I mean, I complained yesterday about people are writing me fan mail. It's taking up time. It's horrible. Right, you know, right. And what I forgot to add, and when I listened to that back, I was like, yeah, if you want to help build the roads, just send money and Bitcoin. And here's the thing I learned from Boston Tea Party that I really like. On his site, on Javelin Press, he says – he has an FAQ, and he says, you know, one of the questions is, I want to write you and tell you how great you are or something like that. And he's like, I'm a very busy man. I try to allocate my time, balance it between life and work and blah, 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 and family and friends, whatever. And if you have a praise for one of my books, please post it on Amazon and send me a link. It does a lot more good for me. It really does. And here's – I want to say that, like – at most of the stuff that people write us, I get the personal thing, and like we do answer, but we're kind of overwhelmed. You gotta work 70 hours a week. You got a wife and a kid. I'm building the roads, and I'm doing 6 shows a week. You know, I got this new show, Michael Dean After Dark, and it's like I get a kick out of, and it kind of keeps us going. Like, hey, great, you know, whatever. But put it on our site, or better yet, on someone else's site. You know, post it somewhere else. Go review this stuff on Amazon. That's really helpful because
see that too. Yeah, we get Google alerts, and if it's on our site, we get a little ping back alert that gets forwarded to our emails. So we still see it. It's the same as if you emailed us at TalkBack. I mean, if it's something that's a PM that you only want us to see, then yeah. Use TalkBack at freedomfiends.com.
That you only want us in the NSA to see? Yeah, then just send it to
us. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And people ask, like, why don't you have PGP encryption? Why don't you have you know, I used to, but it's like, I kind of don't want an address out there where strangers can send me things that are encrypted. Who knows what they'll send me? We use Pigeon, which is off-the-record instant messenger. And we do have information on how to set that up. Some really good tutorials for both PGP and Pigeon on the Freedom Fiends blog. If you go there and search encryption, they'll come up.
And with it, you have to verify through some other means of communication with the actual person that you intend to add to your list of approved people who can communicate with you through encryption, so that I don't have the problem of somebody trying to contact me or have a encrypted message with me that I don't know or don't trust. It has to be verified. So I really dig it.
Yeah. And, you know, I could also just communicate over the radio. Like my programmer, Derek, is reading right now, listening. And he just sent me an email and said, let me see what I can do with the 64-gigabyte card first. And I'm going to say, yeah, that'll work. But I also have this 1-terabyte USB drive that we can use. Basically, you know, that reminds me of, like, on 30 Rock, when they go visit the little town where Kenneth is from to try to find the next comic for the show and go to the Redneck Comedy Club. And, like, they're in the hotel watching the news, the nightly news, and they're like, and that's the weather. And Christina says that she's going to be out of town, and she's wondering if Verna would go over and check her plants and feed her cats. And they're like, you know, Jack's like, man, this is a really small town.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'll talk on a nationwide news syndicated radio show and say, yes, Derek, that is a good idea. Check it out with setting it up with just the 64-gigabyte SD card, and then we'll see if later, after you send me the Raspberry Pi small Linux computer we're going to use as a server for torrenting fiends, if I can just make, you know, if you can walk me through configuring it to use the 1-terabyte USB external drive.
Speaking of small towns, I fell down an internet wormhole right before the show this morning. Looking up Nook, Greenland. I didn't know there was actually towns. Like, they're towns, or villages maybe, in Greenland. Like, I thought it was just an icy wasteland.
No, man, but people live there.
Apparently, yeah, along the fjords.
Fjords.
Nook is the capital. 16,000 people in the capital of Greenland. That's so tiny. That's half the size of the town you live in, Michael.
That's less than the town of Douglas, Wyoming, home of the jackalope, which is kind of like a suburb of Casper. I mean, it's 40 miles away, and there's a whole bunch of nothing between here and there. But
Well, yeah. And I was looking at the pictures and I was like, wow, how come we can't build a lib pair there? Why do we have to go all the way to the moon? We can just go to like some Arctic wasteland. We don't even have to go all the way to the other hemisphere and go to Antarctica like I've thought before. We just go to Greenland. But then I realized why people don't want to live there. Apparently, the warmest month is 40 degrees average. The coldest month is March, which is like -8 average, and that's Fahrenheit. And it's so cold that trees don't grow at all. Like they have a few planted trees, and apparently they die all the time. So I don't know if I'd want to live in a place like that. But it is beautiful in the pictures. I just don't think it'd feel beautiful to live there.
Speaking of going to the moon, Boston Tea Party, other pen name or real name, I guess, of Kenneth Royce, wrote a book called Modules for Manhood that I've been reading, and he's got some interesting theories on what would happen if all the libertarians went to the moon. And I'm going to set up an interview with him on that. But also that book, I mentioned it yesterday, I was reading through it, and it actually has a quote from me in it, from my book, A User's Manual for the Human Experience. Surprise to someone who I really respect quoted me in his book right after Oscar Wilde, which I thought was really, really good. Yeah.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And didn't he say that he worries that even if people made it to the moon and started their own lib pair in 200-something years, they'd have a government?
Yeah.
That is an interesting concept. And in fact, in Scott Beezer's science fiction work, The Quantum Vibe, which is amazing, I encourage everybody to go check it out at quantumvibe.com. That's part of the story.
Or quantumvibe.bit.
He built the dot bit mirror.
His brother set up was like one of the first people to take our tutorials and set up a dot bit that you need to go to meowbit.com and get meowbit to be able to use. By the way, meowbit works on Windows 7 and 8, and we have a version for XP. We wanted to know if it worked on Vista. But 3% of the world still uses Vista, which is like more than use Linux, I think, on their home
computers.
I feel
really sad for them.
Yeah,
that's awful.
But, I mean, you can make all the jokes you want. It was not a great operating system at all. I did have it. I actually had a computer that ran it, and I ended up wiping it, putting Linux on it, and sending it as a present to Mike Vandebaugh when his computer failed.
Nice.
So I guess I was aiding and abetting Mike Vandebaugh, and that may be a crime someday.
Whatever that means to you out there.
Yeah, but we talked about him yesterday in his feisty posts. But I posted on the inner twits. Does anyone have Vista? Can you check this for us? And 20 people wrote insulting messages about Vista, and I'm like, come on, man. I had it too. I got rid of it. I wiped it and put Puppy Linux on, but I just need someone to test it. And actually, someone tested the Windows 7 8 install for Meowbit, and it works on Vista. So that's some new information. Yeah.
It's the first software to actually work on Vista. That's a great honor.
It was also someone actually was bold enough and this is really that guy should get a medal. He stepped up. He admitted he still has something running Vista. That takes a big man to do that.
Yeah, it does. It does. I have a laptop that's not mine. It's a work laptop for one of the companies I DJ for, and it runs Vista, and it makes me pull out my hair whenever I have to use it. I use it as sparingly as possible.
And Vista came after XP, right? Like XP worked pretty well, and then they said,
everybody liked XP. Yeah.
I still have a laptop running XP.
Although I hate 8. I hate Windows 8 about as much as I hate
7.
Vista.
7 is, you know what the Peter Principle is, right? People rise to their level of incompetence in an organization and stay there. It's based on a book from the 70s called The Peter Principle. And it's one of the first marketing management, how to run your company bestsellers. That started, I guess there was How to Win Friends and Influence People in the 20s or 30s, but this was the first one of the first marketing ones ones for executives. And it was a really interesting theory, and I believe it's true. It was written by somebody, Peter was his last name. And the Peter Principle is basically in a vertically integrated organization, you climb the ladder, you do really well, they keep promoting you. And then you finally get to where you would optimally just be kicking butt for the company and doing the best job you could. And they go, you're doing great. We're going to promote you. And they move you up one rung to where you can't really be very effective, but you're not doing so bad that they fire you and you stay there for the rest of your life. And I kind of feel
your highest level of mediocrity.
Windows 7 is the best Windows operating system ever, and I love it. And I, from my experiences with 8 on other people's computers, is it is the Peter Principle in action with Windows.
It makes sense to me. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, speaking of growing and trying to get your goals achieved and then falling back flat into what you wanted to avoid, in Scott Beezer's vision of the future, the moon is colonized by pro-liberty people and innovators and movers and shakers and people who create the technology that, similar to what you're working on now, Michael, you know, technology that frees people from centralized authority. By the time Scott Beezer's characters get around to it, it's already become basically like the modern United States. Like, there's a corrupt criminal justice system, there's corrupt judges, there's cops, there's a drug war. The main character, Nicole, gets thrown in a cage for having cheese in her pocket that everybody thinks was planted on her by the corrupt cops. And Molyneux said that before, too, that, you know, you start out with these small libertarian societies where massive amounts of wealth get created because there's freedom, and freedom begets wealth. But then, of course, people get lazy and they become predatory, and the political means ends up outpacing the economic means. So you end up with this sort of decadent system.
I don't know that it would necessarily go to a state, but I think it would be very interesting from a drama standpoint to watch, you know, 100 or 1 million libertarians thrown into a place without a state and let us hash it out. I mean, it would be it would probably also depend on whether they inherited the existing infrastructure or not. You know, like if they had to start from moon rocks, it might take a little longer and might be a little more primitive and brutal. But, you know, if all of a sudden just the government went away in the current society we have,
right?
I could certainly see some shouting matches of how things should get done. And I could certainly...
Between the same people who have shouting matches in the liberty movement now?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, and some people would just go, oh, right, I can open carry 27 AR-15s and a grenade launcher now, and they'd naked, and they'd smoke a joint, and they'd do it for a while, and then go, wait, getting anything done. You know, kind of like when I moved to Wyoming and open carried for 6 months, and I'm like, I never do that now. And it's not that there's any problem with it. It's more like I don't want to have that much situational awareness. You know, I don't want to have to watch, oh, some kid might come up and touch my gun and go, what's that, mister? You know?
Although that would happen less in a lib pair where people were used to. If it was a mundane thing to open carry, you'd get less of the weird looks and the questions from people
and
like, are you
touching
a cop?
Because they'd be open carrying too. Armed children on the Freedom Fiends coming back after the market.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. This is Nima Vidati. We've got Michael W. Dean out there toiling away with his road work. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
It's going good. Like, during the break, I'm like giving you and our board op boundaries. Like, okay, don't contact, don't talk to me during the break. I'm answering emails. And Nima, don't talk to me right after a show because I have to be editing right then and I'm doing math and it's complicated. Basically, I don't want anyone to contact me unless they're sending me money or Bitcoin or they're like praising what we do somewhere else where other people will see it than me.
Okay. Yeah, the line has been drawn.
Yeah. Or if they have something, you know, or if they write for a magazine and want to get a .bit set up and want me to walk them through it, I'll do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So where were we?
We were just kind of chattering and stuff about
that's right.
Building the inner nodes.
The inner nodes, yes.
The inner nodes. Are important nodes for that. In your nose. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we had some news. We got to welcome two new stations in Woodstock, Virginia. I like that.
Is that the Woodstock of Woodstock fame?
No, that was Woodstock, New York. But they have music festivals in this area. This is, you know, the mountain bluegrass regions. And the stations are WSVG 790 and WAMM 1230 Sunday nights from 4 to 6 a.m. Ah, that's pretty cool, man. That's, you know, most places I would say that is the prime time for insomniac weirdos. But in that part of the country, that's probably people getting up to work, because that's a farming area, and it's probably people getting up for work to milk the cows before they go to church. So there.
They go to church every day?
Sunday. It's Sunday.
That committed it's on a Sundays. Sunday. Yeah. Well, we're on Saturdays at that time too, right?
Not on that station. Not it's on a Sunday station. Only. No. Yeah. So I'd like to welcome those two stations, and that's a good thing.
All right. There we go. Yeah. That is a good thing. Yeah, yeah. I was just browsing through some of these emblems of some of the more secretish government agencies. Oh. We were talking about the new Strategic Air Command. I forget what they call it, like Global
Airworm One
Strike Airworm
Air,
Three or something.
Anti-worm One.
Yes, it's the organization responsible for holding the whole world hostage with ICBMs at all times, so that they do what Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton say. How scary is that?
I know, man. That is quite scary.
Yeah, and you had asked if their logo was the one with the giant squid grasping the earth within its tentacles and its beak sucking incessantly at the North Pole. And I said, no, it's a wings with lightning bolts striking across the entire globe. But a fiend fan of ours, Michigan Escapee, sent us the actual logo Michael was talking about, the NROL-39, Nothing is Beyond Our Reach. That is that actual emblem.
The name of that organization even sounds obscure. You know, it's like, what does that mean? I don't know. It's got a number in it. Yeah.
Right. And they painted this emblem on a rocket, apparently a classified payload rocket that they shot into space. And the DNI, James Clapper's, the director of national intelligence, James Clapper, tweeted bragging that that it was launching carrying a classified NRO payload.
It's funny that they tweet about sending something that they can't tell you what it is. And CubeSats.
Yeah, that's what I thought was funny. What's a CubeSat?
It's a satellite that's like 6 inches by 6 inches on each end. It's a little box. They're pretty cool.
Like a cube. Like a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, I think the Fiends should have their own one. So we should do an Indiegogo to get our own CubeSat. Private organizations actually can. A lot of colleges, big universities have their own CubeSat now.
All right.
Basically, they're you know, if the state likes you, they'll launch them free because they can actually fit them like behind other things that they're putting into orbit. Like they're kind of hitchhikers on existing flights.
The glitter in the envelope you send to news directors.
What was that from? Oh, that's from Arrested Development. That makes them hate you. Right, yeah, right. You know that logo kind of reminds me of something on The Simpsons, but most things do. There's a Simpsons where they go to, I think it's South America, and somebody Marge is saying to Homer, like, stop being an ugly American, Homer. People are staring at you, and like. He's like, what are you talking about? And I think he's like kicking a donkey or something, and he's wearing a T-shirt. He says, like, how are they going to know I'm American? And he's like kicking a donkey, and he's wearing a T-shirt that's like too tight on him. And it's a picture of Uncle Sam taking a bite out of the globe, and it says, just try and stop us.
That's about right. But apparently there's a bunch like this. This is on motherboard.vice.com. I guess we could put it in the show notes. It's a pretty interesting article to read. We'll get into some of the other creepy, I guess would be the word, emblems of government agencies that they're just doing this for your protection, right, Michael?
Yeah. I feel safer already.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back, just as soon as this drone is out of range. Brink of Freedom is a community-based network and magazine whose mission is to provide you with the information you need on your walk to freedom. From homesteading and gardening to tactical and firearms, Brink of Freedom provides everything you will need to gain the knowledge to be self-sufficient. If government doesn't like it, Brink of Freedom will cover it. Come share your knowledge and gain the knowledge of industry professionals within the community. Become a premium member and gain access to unlimited content and discounts on products and services from our merchants. Use the discount code FIENDS at brinkoffreedom.net.
All right, everybody. It's the Freedom Fiends. My name is Nima Vedati. We've got Michael W. Dean on the other end of the intertubes. I could tell you, but then you would have to be destroyed by me. That's a book by Trevor Paglen, something like that, P-A-G-L-E-N. And it's a book of emblems from the Pentagon's black world. I'm looking at a few of these, and that black means, you know, not on the books. You're not supposed to know about it. It's not on the ad campaign in the NFL game. But Motherboards Vice, or Vice on their motherboard.vice.com, posted a bunch of these. Some of them are exceedingly creepy, with very creepy Latin phrasing on them. Like there's an alien head above a little Air Force looking logo. The name of the mission is Tactical Exploitation of National Capabilities, and the subtext in Latin is "Let them hate so long as they fear."
Wow, man.
Yeah. A lot of these are real creepy, Michael. What do you think about these?
I think these are organizations that were probably set up with the idea, or came out of organizations that were probably set up with the idea of protecting against some external other, and somehow they've just had mission creep to where the other, where the enemy is the U.S. citizen. I really do. I feel like. Yeah.
Or the entire world, not the U.S. citizen. Because a lot of these, there's three of them that have dragons, like with the whole world in their talons.
Yeah.
And their mouths open like they're about to devour the whole world as if it's a tasty treat.
Think about this, the sociopathy behind that. The, you know, we sit in windowless computer bunkers and control everything. It's a god complex. It's dangerous. I don't know what to do about it other than make fun of it. I don't fear it, and I don't I guess I hate it, but you know, what would their opinion be on let them hate so long as what if they don't fear, you know?
What if I don't fear? Yeah, well, I guess we must fear, they'll make us fear. Yeah.
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 If either of us are ever found dead of anything, the government's probably behind it.
Well, the emblem for the U.S. Navy's stealth drone program is literally a Grim Reaper with his sickle above his head and his evil eyes staring right at you and a star on either side.
I mean, these kind of look like something for Halloween costumes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Or something from a video game. Like, I feel like I'm playing Metal Gear Solid right now while I'm looking at all these. Like, do these things really exist? It's mind-blowing to me. Even that one we talked about earlier, which I guess people have heard of before, the squid or the octopus grasping the globe. And it's funny because the only arm that you can actually see across land masses is going across Russia and pounding down on Iran. So I don't know if that's intentional or subliminal or what.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. And the logo on that, or the motto on that, is not Latin. It's English, and it says, actually, nothing is beyond our reach.
Actually, I don't know where the genitalia is on a squid. And this is actually, I think it's an octopus, not a squid.
I'm glad you can admit that you don't know where the genitalia is on a squid.
If it was where it is on a mammal, it would be over the United States.
That's true. That's true. Well, I would imagine that... octopi? Or is it plural?
Yes.
Is octopi plural? Well, I would imagine that their genitalia can move around and be in different places, just like their tentacles. Have you seen the videos of them? They can like pretty much take the shape of any container. They're very liquid. So maybe that's where it could be. It could be anywhere, really. I mean, I don't know. It could be on
Canada.
That's
enough of that.
Right.
Yeah. Man, so people are weird and scary and spooky. And I mean, you know, sociopaths are people who can emulate empathy but don't really have any, and believe that they're above the law, and believe that they're the only thing that matters is what they want to do, and that whatever they want to do is always right. And they get great pleasure at the suffering of others, whether it's laughing, you know, whether it's some... You know, whether it's some griefer troll on the internet, or whether it's somebody bombing children with a drone, or whether it's these dark agencies that devalue the dollar to pay for their black budgets that aren't in the budget so they can control, you know, to the guys that run these organizations, like somebody driving a drone and eating Cheetos is like one of a million tentacles they control. That's they're the man behind the curtain with real destructive powers.
And here's the thing, you say, well, what do we do about this? And the biggest part to me is in people's head, delegitimizing these people as respected people, as respected members or contributing members of humanity. Because I bet the people in these agencies, I bet they go to the PTA meetings and their churches and people talk about how, oh, look at him. He's in some kind of secret agency. Oh, wow, that's so awesome. What do you do, mister? Oh, I can't tell you. Oh, and people just gush over how cool they must be and how they must be just like the movies, and they're protecting us from bad guys all day long. And so that creates the incentive for people to want to be a part of this kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know, we talked about something about a year ago that I want to bring up again because we have a lot of new stations. Was I talked to somebody whose brother-in-law works for not even one of these spook agencies, but more like, you know, the people that kick in doors. I don't remember if it was the DEA or it was some goon cop organization. And the guy said that his brother-in-law, you know, has a black bulletproof SUV with special features in it that not only does he carry fully automatic weapons in it all the time, but he can leave the fully automatic weapons locked in it when he goes in, like for Thanksgiving and spends the afternoon somewhere. But he actually, when he goes somewhere, when he's in somewhere for a couple hours and he's away from home and has this vehicle with him and it's not in his garage, which is probably reinforced also, he has to bring in this box. And this box is about, it's a plastic hard shell case about 2 feet, 2.5 feet by, you know, 1.5 feet by 1.5 feet, kind of like a little locker that you can carry with two arms, with handles on either side. And it's got a high-tech lock on it that has a combination. Now, here's what he says. He says his instructions are he has to bring this everywhere that he goes, so it's never out of his sight. And it not only like open it, like punching in the combination doesn't open it. He has to punch in the combination and receive a special satellite signal for it to open. Uh-huh. And he's not yet received the signal after several years of having to carry this around. So, and right. He doesn't know what's in it. Like basically the implication is when the time comes, this will beep and be able to be opened with your secret password, and then you'll know what to do with whatever's in it. I'm thinking, like, what is in it if he's already got, you know, he's got gas masks, he's got body armor, he's got full auto weapons. What is in this that's, like, more special than that? And you and I came to the conclusion that it's, like,
it's a naked photo of Steve Martin.
Yeah, that it's the state. What is that from? State. What is
that? I don't know.
Yeah, it's that there's nothing in it. And the whole purpose for all the money that's spent on this and all the care he has to give it is to give the illusion that he has something even scarier than full automatic weapons. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's theater. And people say, oh, well, why would they waste their time with that? It's not a waste of their time. You realize the state is the state of mind.
Because their motto is let them hate as long as they fear. They're not going to fear unless they know about boxes like this being carried around. And I'm here to debunk and say, I think that's the man behind the curtain. I think that's Oz. I think there's nothing in that. I think it's a note that says, ha ha, or like a copy of, you know, the part of the U.S. Constitution that allows the U.S. to do whatever they want, you know, the general welfare
clause. And the average person knows this on some level if they've ever flown on a plane since 9/11 and dealt with the TSA. I mean, it's widely accepted that this is nonsense and it's nothing but security theater, and they're not really making anything safe for anybody. And they've done tests of the scanners, and people can go through them with weapons. They don't really ever catch anything. They don't do what they're marketed to do to the American public. And all they're there for is to try to give people the fear that, oh, this must be, if they have to go through all this expense, all of this effort, have all of these people, there must be something really scary out there that we don't know about because it seems really silly on its face.
Yeah, like,
that's not true.
Think about,
it is just silly, actually, not just on its face.
You know, if you have more than 4 ounces of liquid, they make you throw it out on a plane. They take it, they steal it from you, make you throw it out. Or they say, we're not taking it from you. You can not go on the plane, you know? Or yeah, you can go back through this 2-hour line and check it. And You know, I guess the implication is that somebody could be carrying liquid explosives, and someone did the math of like the most potent liquid explosive. It would take 4 ounces to put a big hole in a plane and down it or something. But why couldn't two terrorists bring 2 ounces each of that liquid on? You know, it's just security theater, whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
It's not preventing anything. And
no,
the only terrorists that have been prevented on planes have been stopped by passengers on the plane, just beating them up, you know, holding them down and sitting on them. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is you wonder how we get rid of all this. We stop being scared. We start laughing and stop crying and cowering and being speechless with fear, being mute from fear. We stop doing all that. And here's the thing is they're all parasites. They suck off of us. Some people probably aren't too upset about paying their taxes, and they probably think in their head that it goes to something that protects them or provides roads or whatever it is they think. And that's fine for those silly people. But those of us who know better, if we could start transacting and having a completely separate economy from them, I mean, crypto agorism, right? I mean, you start transacting just in Bitcoin. Michael, haven't you done so much business lately in the past couple weeks with cryptocurrency? You know, you used to be so upset about regular donations, but now you're getting donations left and right with cryptocurrency just because it's easier. The transaction friction is smooth, man. It's like a bunch of lube has been slathered on.
I'm not going to admit that.
Well, what happens? What happens when everybody realizes that? What happens when there's no budget for a giant agency to tweet and brag about how they're sending these CubeSats and these secret satellites into the air, and to pay somebody to graphic design these creepy patches and logos?
Speaking of graphic designers, I think that our graphic designer, Crazy Rich, should make some mock-ups of parodies of these creepy badges. Now, I would not use the same names of these agencies, because actually, while almost everything in the U.S. produced by the U.S. government is under public domain, which is one of the kind of cool things that they did for a while, because, you know, we got to use a lot of their imagery in Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom movie, against them.
Mm-hmm.
But they've actually added some laws now, at least with the Department of Homeland Security. I know they've made it illegal to parody them, because they went after somebody for copyright or trademark violation for making T-shirts that made fun of the DHS logo, which is unprecedented, and it is literally a violation of the First Amendment. But they did it anyway. I think Rich should make
The ACLU litigating that?
Rich should make some fake ones of these that have like a tick sucking on a citizen's arm.
Nice. Nice. We'll be back with more fiends in just a bit.
Yeah. A puffer fish, one of those fish that acts bigger than it is.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, there's some Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. I'm Nima Vidati here in Round Rock, Texas. We've got Michael W. Dean out there in the wilds of Wyoming basking in the glow of Casper Mountain, are we? Or where are you at today?
Oh, it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of sunny and cold here. I can see Casper Mountain. I'm on the back side of it, flying over in Airworm 1, my big blimp. So Woodstock, Virginia, man. I used to live in Charlottesville, Virginia, which is, I have to clarify, I did not go to the University of Virginia, so don't immediately judge me. People in Woodstock, Virginia. I was just there. I just happened to live there. It's pretty cool. It's playing punk rock.
What are your thoughts, your opinions, your reminiscence of Woodstock? Or
I haven't been to Woodstock, Virginia, but I've been to Charlottesville, Virginia. I've been I lived in Arlington, Virginia, which is the bedroom community for the Pentagon and for Washington D.C.'s horribilousness. Yeah. Horribilous. Did you know that a bear what's the Latin name for the bear, DJ? Oh, it's Ursus Ursus. What's the horribilis?
I thought that was grizzly bear. Ursus horribilis?
Grizzly bear.
Terribilis.
Yeah, but then there's some cat that's Felinus horribilis, too. What is that, DJ? That's what her dad calls cats. Felinus horribilis. That's funny.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about ancient computers. You know, computers are one of those things that do not increase in value with time. Although you could probably like sell these to a museum at this point, but we're talking about what's the model number? The IBM
7090 is what we're looking at,
which is the big, it's used as props in a lot of old movies. It was basically the cutting edge of computer technology. And, you know, those big columns that kind of look like a skinny refrigerator that have two reel-to-reel tapes near the top of them. They use for memory. And, they used like five or six of them in the background in a couple scenes in Doctor Strangelove, and we were looking at the picture and talking about it yesterday. And I said, "Yeah, man, those things cost like $600,000 back then, and they only had the computing power of your iPhone. It's vastly worse than that. What did they cost back then?
They cost $2.9 million back then in 1960, adjusted for inflation by Wikipedia, which I don't know how they estimated inflation or not, but according to them, it'd be equal to $23.1 million in 2013 bucks.
Yeah, and the processing power was much lower than your iPhone. What was the address space on them?
They say used a 36-bit word length with an address space of 32K. I'm not super up on computer history, but we Googled address space, and it sounds like that's basically how the memory was, or at least that was a certain addressable memory. 32K. I mean, that's less than a Word document, isn't it?
Yeah. That's far less than the images, you know, the crazy cat memes that we send to each other all the time.
Right.
That would fill that whole computer. Like, you wouldn't be able to do anything else on it. You could just store that picture of your crazy cat picture, and that'd be it.
So that's kind of mind-bending to me. What would you use something like that for? I mean, what use possibly could
rocket
it have?
I don't
understand.
Literally, rocket science.
How does it do rocket science if it can't hold enough for a tiny Word document or a cat meme?
Because rocket science back then was all numbers. It didn't have to have imagery. It was basically telemetry. And figuring the velocity, the drop, the drag,
So it's literally a giant calculator that would solve a specific problem, a specific formula.
Well, you also back then literally had to write or pay someone or put someone in a room and put a gun to their head like the government did. Well, no, they put a gun to our head and then paid the guy lots of money.
Yeah. I'm sure the guy was totally stoked on it. I get to work with the government.
And they had to write programs for it. You couldn't just get programs to do things. Like now, I'm sure you can download your choice of hundreds of free telemetry programs for calculating rocket science.
Yeah. So okay. So if you don't have to have any kind of GUI or graphical user interface or even any DOS or anything, if everything's just all like that and it's only supposed to do one thing, telemetry. Yeah, I guess this would be
Well, they also
more useful than anything else they had. I guess that's the point, huh?
Yeah, and the people they got for programmers weren't computer experts; they were math people, and then they trained them to do programming or have someone else program it, but. They had math people doing the math. That was the big all the math people got sucked out of the colleges and high schools for that.
Yeah. Well, did they even have college computer science programs back in the 50s and 60s?
No. No, you had to go join the military to do it, basically, because they owned it. And the free market has freed that up. The government's got out of the way. That's our point. And that's why you have a computer in your pocket that is more powerful than what put the first rocket on the moon. And we'll be back with more on Freedom Fiends in hour two of the free market in action. The market. Just call it the market. If it's really free, it's just the market.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. My name is Nima Vedati out here in Texas. We've got Michael W. Dean out there in what they call Wyoming, but I call it the Mountain West, man. Who cares if your laws come from Cheyenne or Salt Lake or Denver, man? You guys are individualists. You don't pay no attention to those ranch traders, do you?
No.
No, not at all. Well, I am heading off to my wife's grandpa's 80th birthday party as soon as the radio show's over. And this guy has tons of grandkids. I can't even count them. And he's now a great-grandpa because me and my wife have had our own child, Lily June Vedati. And that must be a good feeling when you're 80, to achieve 80 and to look down at your brood and think, I'm the reason, or at least a large reason, that all of these people are here and happy and healthy and loving and good people and hearty people and not violent people. And that's got to be a big achievement, don't you think, Michael?
I don't know that it's an achievement. I don't know that you really did anything when you have grandchildren, but I guess you could say I'm being a bummer here, huh, man?
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer thing to say, man.
All right, go back to your
well, wonder. No. Tell me, play your devil's advocate.
Spawning isn't doing anything. Raising a family is, and I guess if
but
they
that's
are,
what I'm saying. He did. That's what I'm saying. He has the farm. He's not being supported by anybody else. He's 80, and he's still pretty much supporting everybody else. He's got his own farm. Lives out in the country. Whenever people need help, he's quick to help them out. He's sort of the patriarch, and I know that term has been co-opted by feminazis, as Limbaugh would call them. I don't really believe in such a thing, but you know, he's the guy everybody looks up to, and he's well respected. And I think that you have done something when your kids are there and they're alive and they've been happy and healthy enough and not traumatized enough to hold down their own families and create their own families and support them. And you don't have any of your kids that are in jail and perennially or lying in a gutter or anything like that. I think that that's an achievement.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. I don't know. I'm always of the mind of Squisgar on Death Clock, Metalocalypse.
Families is the peoples you hate.
Families is the peoples that you hate. No, I don't hate my family. I just I really feel like a reptile. I feel like I was spawned and then immediately crawled away and raised myself. I really do, man.
Yeah. Well, maybe you did, and I'm sure a lot of people do that. And there's a book I've been reading called I think it's called Welcome to Your Child's Brain or something like that, something cheesy. And they put forth the theory. I think they call it the dandelion theory or some other weed that's kind of pretty they use as their metaphor. That kids are fairly resilient, and as long as you don't immensely traumatize them or drop them upside down on purpose onto concrete, then they're probably going to grow up and they'll figure things out for their their own, and they'll be just
they'll
fine.
They'll burp,
you know,
on radio when they're adults by accident. I tried to hit the mute button.
I did not hear that.
Good.
You see, you broke the rule.
I did bad radio.
Teaching hospital. Yeah.
No, it's
don't
not.
Don't call attention to the past mistake.
In a teaching hospital, you do. That's the difference.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, when you drop the baby on your head in the teaching hospital, you pick it up and you point out what you did. You don't try to hide it.
Right.
And you say, don't do that. Yeah.
You do.
So I guess my feeling about family, I didn't have a bad childhood, but I didn't have a really good relationship with my parents because they were too busy working. I guess for me, so I can say I'll give them that. They both worked like 90 hours a week, which also
– And whose fault is that? I would argue that in a large part is the state's
fault. Government. Oh,
yeah. So if you're trying to be a pro-family conservative Republican, then you shouldn't be for the giant federal state we have in Washington, D.C. right now because they're one of the biggest reasons.
One of my main memories of my parents – is, you know, they both ran their own businesses, but one of my main memories of them when I'd actually get to see them was at night when they were up way past when someone who has to get up and open a business in the morning should be up, of them like with a mechanical calculator doing the taxes for that day or that week to keep up so they wouldn't have the untenable task of doing it once a year only, you know?
Right. Doing quarterly taxes because they're
daily,
actually producers in society.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then before QuickBooks and stuff, and before you had a computer as your cash register, oh man, I that boggles my mind how much work that would have been. How much sapped productivity that would have taken out of the economy as a whole. People need to really grasp that broken window fallacy and opportunity cost. That if you're spending, how many hours would you say your mom and your dad combined spent a week just complying with tax laws? Not even regulations.
Well, with tax laws and regulations, I couldn't really break it down because, you know, I was a little kid.
You're a kid and work is work, right?
Work is work. But I would say they did 4 to 5 hours a day after the store closed of accounting. And complying and filling out paperwork. You know, they probably would have done an hour or two of accounting because, you know, any business, even in a libertarian paradise without taxes, would have to do inventory to keep afloat because you don't just – unless – you know, you have to know what you have coming in and out and, you know, you have to know what you have to order. But aside from that, I do know that a lot of it was tax related. Also, my dad got audited 6 or 7 years in a row. And they finally stopped auditing him. They told him, like, we don't think you're cheating on your taxes. We just think you keep lousy records. That was what they told him. So, you know, basically they're saying you have to keep records for us better.
Right. Yeah. It's like the government saying you have to clean your room.
It really is. There you go.
Oh, my word. Yeah. And, you know, somebody I know is working on I think they've already got their PhD for psychology. Like, they're already there. They're ready to go. But there's still so much after the fact and to get it, too. There's like a dozen different boards or something you have to go through, and you have to talk to this group of people on the dais who get to decide and that group of people on the dais. And each time you have to pay them $400 and plead your case.
and then $400 to kneel before their feet and plead.
Right. Or you have to take some sort of proficiency thing online or a personality quiz or something that's online, right? But then it takes 6 weeks to get the results back. Now it's something that's browser-based. It's something that's software. So they obviously know the results immediately. Like, have you ever taken those silly things like the Cosmo quizzes online, like what hair color should you have or something like that?
No.
The results are instant. You haven't. But people have, and people do, and the results are instant.
The one of what is your cat's real age. This is funny because like, my cat is 16, and we'd done the cat age thing last night. And I was making a bad joke. I was lying on the bed. My wife was on the computer, and I said, look, I'm rubbing a 16-year-old girl. And my wife looked at me and said, she said, no, you're rubbing an 80-year-old woman. Because that's my cat's real age in human.
Right. Hey, you're fine with that too, aren't you?
Well, my cat is 16, and I would never be rubbing a 16-year-old human girl, but I will rub my 16-year-old
girl cat. I meant the 80-year-old woman part.
Oh, yeah. I'm cool with that. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, my main point is just that think about all the opportunity costs of all the work people have to do. And average people, poor people, rich people, PhDs, undergrads, all the work they have to do just to fill out nonsense paperwork, to pay for some pencil pusher's vacation time, to pay for some pencil pusher's retirement, when often they take retirement early because it only takes 20 years, and then they're retired at 50 and they go work for somebody else. They're getting double income off of your sweat. Now, it's not just your taxes, but it's the work, the sweat you put into complying with their silly rules and edicts that actually don't really make anything better, do they?
No.
I mean, if it was just 30% of all the work done in America, if America just all of a sudden had 30% more productivity, how mind-blowing would that be? How much more amazing would life and technology and gizmos and entertainment even?
Yeah, and you know, people like Rush Limbaugh, who get it about 5% of the time, you know, and it's like, I'm sure if he heard that, he'd be like, oh, who are these nobodies complaining about me on the radio? And it's, you know what, Rush? It's not personal. It's not that you're a bad guy. It's
you're
that
a
like,
great broadcaster, Rush.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll give you that. Invented talk radio like this. Without him, we wouldn't be. We'd be screaming on it. We'd be yelling on the corner with a bullhorn getting rested. Tip of the hat to him for paving the way with that. But we are the next generation. We're making it right. We're making it correct. Because, first of all, I heard him the other day dismissing conspiracy theories outright. And the one he was dismissing was that Flight 800, that one where there were like – you know, he's saying,
where everybody in the aviation office was like mind blown that that's the line of BS they're going with.
Yeah.
What?
And he was like, I am friends with the head of the FBI who was on that department. And he said that it was exactly as it was. And I don't care if people, you know, a couple people say they saw a missile. No, like 800 people say they saw a missile. And the FBI went around and told them, shut up and don't tell anyone this. That's what. Now, you know,
yeah.
That's the
and
story.
Here's my false dichotomy for the day is there's two kinds of people in the world. If Rush Limbaugh says, I'm friends with the FBI and he told me this, if you think, oh, okay, I guess I believe Rush, then you're one kind of person. If you think, oh, man, here comes a line of BS, then you're a fiend.
Yeah.
There's a local talk show radio host here. I think it's Dale Dudley, and he does really good radio. I like listening to him in the morning. It helps wake me up for the 10-minute commute. And whenever there's a cop story of cop abuse, which there's dozens in Austin, some of them make national news, he always just says, well, I was talking to Art Acevedo, the police chief last night at my barbecue, and he said this, and I'm like, that doesn't help your case, guy.
I know, man.
You don't say well, my buddy over beers, who is the top cop, told me this, and so I know the cops are doing a good job.
Yeah. No. I mean, I trust anybody on the street with a cell phone. I trust their video that doesn't have an agenda, just here's the video, more than
right.
I trust what the cops scribble down on paper.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that a conflict of interest if you're supposed to be telling the people what's going on in your town, and that's kind of your job, and you're the opinion maker? It's kind of a conflict of interest to say, well, I go by what the cops say because I'm best buddies with him.
I mean,
and my daughter goes to step class.
What do these people say about, you know, they don't address the fact that things like that end up with a lot of man on the street video of what really happened. That is, you know, obviously not edited. And when you get something when there's big and there's like 10 different angles of it all showing the same thing and the cops are saying something different. Yeah.
So we started this segment going, we don't know what we're going to
do.
No,
here's what I was going to say.
That was a good rant.
Like Rush and the small government Republicans, you know, basically they will criticize with good reason people like Nancy Pelosi who say, oh, we need to tax everyone more because that'll create wealth for everybody, and not understanding that is socialism and is communism and is fascism. But the right wingers are the same way. They just want to do it for different things.
It's all the same
pot of money you're stealing from good people.
Amen. Feisty rant. And we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends.
Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address in our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com.
All All right, everybody, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. And, you know, I'm taking time out of my day, but I feel like this is full of value in some ways for me, for Michael, for the audience, for the listener.
For the death panels.
For the death panels.
We're talking about death panel. Okay, go ahead with your praising of our work. I like it.
Well, that was it. That was it. I feel like, and no matter what, even if it's not valuable, I'm the one making the decision. And if at some point I choose it not to be valuable, then I have the full freedom to decide not to do it. You don't have that when it comes to all the work you have to end up doing to comply with silly government regulations, rules, and tax codes. That is opportunity cost. When you go fight your ticket at court, like if you go fight your traffic ticket, it could take several hours of being out of work, of commuting to the place, of sitting in the courtroom
but
waiting
Nima,
for the prosecutor to talk to you.
At least you have a right to fight and face your accuser.
Well, it reminds me of that meme, and the people who get this meme, they'll get what I'm talking about. There's that meme somebody's been posting around lately, and it's pretty much what we've been saying since we started the Freedom Fiends. It's two slaves on a plantation, a slave master over them with the whip, and one of the slaves says, man, they're pretty hardcore tyrannical over here. And the other slave says, if you don't like it, go to the next plantation.
Yeah.
And that's really all the argument they have. That nobody can, in that realm, in that statist way of thinking, could ever provide an alternative other than, well, go be tyrannized by somebody else. There's never the thought that, well, you could avoid tyranny. Maybe we could all avoid tyranny.
And a lot of right-wingers who say they're small government will still say if you complain too hard about the whole foundation of government, they take it personally, like you're making fun of their family because your government happens to be America.
They've been indoctrinated.
And they will tell you to move to another country if you don't like it. And what I say about Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and all those other people who you can't criticize if you're on talk radio because they have an app on their iPhone to have you deleted, I think. No, I don't know. I would love either of those guys, any of those guys, to come on any place, any time, our show, their show, and discuss with us. Because I'm sure they think our whole premise is flawed and they would just dismiss us outright as crazy libertarians. You know, we need some government.
Right. What did you see? Adam Kokesh is at it again. He did a video at CPAC. Maybe he's done more than one, but the one I saw was him confronting some think tank wannabe cat.
Wonk.
I don't know what he was, but he was talking about freedom, and Adam, you know, he's really good at that man on the street.
Oh, yeah.
Point out people's own logical inconsistencies in this awkward Michael Scott kind of a moment, and he's the microphone in front of him, and he's asking him about legalizing marijuana, and Adam comes out and says, well, me, as a Marine veteran who has issues and feels like I need it for medication, are you telling me that somebody could raid my house and throw me in a cage and that'd be okay with you? And it's so much more powerful because Adam Kokesh has actually been SWAT raided, and the guy's kind of like, well, you can go to a doctor and get something else. That's the best he can come up with is no, you don't get freedom. You must do what somebody tells you within their defined rules, and that's how I conceive of freedom. And Adam straight up asked him, you know, well, what's your definition of freedom then? He says, well, the freedom to vote for things.
And how's that to, working out for you? And, yeah, how's that working out
exactly
for you? The freedom
that's
to vote.
That's not freedom, and I don't know why people – I don't know how that non sequitur happened to where –
the freedom to
people,
vote is why we have Obamacare, and it's why it's why the you know, the stepping up of the NSA spying on everybody has gone so logarithmically since Obama. That's democracy in action. It literally is. And I don't get these arguments that conservative small government people have of like, well, we just need to get good guys in there to enforce the Constitution. This is the Constitution in action. Yeah. This is it. And, I would love to debate Rush Limbaugh or Hannity or any of those people on any of this stuff. Although I don't know if I think they'd end up just dismissing. I know one of those guys might be able to be logical for about five questions, but you know who would just be the pigeon kicking over the pieces on the chessboard?
Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly. You knew it without me saying it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I know the style. That's his shtick. That's his no spin zone.
Yeah.
That's what
you
he
don't
calls
get
it
to spin it. Only I do. Yeah.
Only I do. Yes. The spin by me.
Yeah. And basically what I'm saying is like those guys' whole premise is flawed because it's hypocritical without them realizing it. And I kind of feel sorry for them because it's like they don't understand the fallacy of saying, yes, we need the Constitution to enforce our right to have guns and not pay a lot of taxes and not pay taxes for things we don't like. That's not democracy. That's not what's set up by the U.S. Constitution. That's not the general welfare clause, you know? And if you like, if you want to get back to the Constitution, like, you know, you, there are people like sovereign citizen types who say we want to peel it back to the 13th Amendment. And after that, the United States was taken over by a corporation. And but it's like, where do you get it back to? Because really, the general welfare clause is on the first page before even any of the amendments, you know,
and the power to lay and collect taxes, which they do all day.
Lay around and collect taxes.
Collect taxes.
Yep.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Uh-huh. It's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vadadi here in the Texas Hill Country. We've got Michael W. Dean out there on the Great Plains. How's it going, sir? Yeah, on the prairie where the buffalo roam. Is
death panels.
So?
Where the death panels
death
exist.
Panels. Yeah. yeah, man, that's democracy in action. It's people all voting for whether you live or die. At its essence, that's what it is. What's the old saying that democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner? Obviously, it's going to be the sheep. And apparently, the term death panel won the Fact Check's Whoppers list and was PolitiFact's Lie of the Year. But here's the thing. They're going to have – I mean, Obamacare is basically one large, giant death panel. They just don't want you to call it that. That's their only defense is, well, you can't call it that. That's not very fair. And Wiki's entries on this, they have some academic response to it. And one of the academics who gets paid by the sweat of your brow, well, I don't know, is Dartmouth College. I guess it's not a state college, but I'm sure they get some kind of funding. She wrote that, Obama's plan might lead to more restrictive rationing than already occurs under the current healthcare system. That's a direct quote, but still criticized Palin's statement as largely unjustified and false. So she admits that there's going to be more restrictive rationing of healthcare services. Now, who's going to decide that rationing? Is it going to be the market, Michael?
It's going to be done with democracy, man. It's going to be voted on. It's going to be panels of experts who are probably appointed because they fill some kind of quota. You know, they say – Obama actually said there's not going to be death panels. And of course they're not going to call them that. They're going to call them, you know, democratic
– life allocation processes.
Yes. tribunals. But, you know, in a system – where you're not allowed to choose your own health. I can't believe we're talking about Obamacare. It's so square, man. But I guess we ended up here somehow.
it's okay. We can stay here. We can stay on Obamacare.
Yeah. So basically, like, if you have a limited pool, someone is going to have to make decisions as to whether it's worth somebody to have something. And, you know, somebody who's got a job and is paying lots of taxes and is in the, like, prime of their earning capacity is probably going to get, you know, a life-saving antibiotic that doesn't cost a lot of money. But is an 89-year-old woman who's retired and on Social Security going to get, you know, a $50,000 titanium hip implant? Probably not.
Well, here's the thing. As people say healthcare is a right, that's the argument. It's a natural human right. That's the argument from the left and usually people who are fans of Obamacare. But what they're not getting is that what Obamacare does is it takes the right to pursue healthcare out of the hands of the individual. It does the exact opposite of their intention, because if you have a system set up like that, then you can't really be the one to make the decisions on whether or not you choose this plan or that plan, or what type of healthcare you choose, or what kind of doctor you choose. Even in the current capitalism system right now, you don't really get a whole lot of choice in your healthcare. Because of government intervention. And that choice is what your right is supposed to be. I have the choice. I have the right to choose where my resources go, whether they be to new skydiving equipment or healthcare. And each choice is different for each individual and should be made by the individual who's most affected by it, which is the individual himself, because he's going to make the most honest decision. Anybody else who makes a decision like that is not going to be as concerned with the results of it than the person who's actually getting the healthcare done to them and hopefully actually paying for that healthcare as well.
Yeah, actually, I mean, if you want a solution, it'd be much easier than Obamacare. If they just opened up competition between states and across state lines, because you can't do that with healthcare, and you can do it with automobile insurance, and that's why you've got all this cheap, good automobile insurance being advertised 24/7 on TV all the time now.
Yeah, yeah, there's that, and my huge thing is stop having this giant, huge, deist-driven bureaucracy of panels deciding who gets to provide healthcare or not. Get rid of the FDA, scrap licensing boards for doctors, let anybody compete in the market. I'm pretty sure you'd have private agencies stepping out to certify people one way or the other.
Even if you didn't open up the anybody could be a doctor and the free market will decide, which sounds like libertarian fairy dust magical thinking to your average liberal or even conservative. And the liberals love to – I don't want to collectivize the collectivists. Okay, a lot of liberals I have talked to love to just dismiss any idea of doing things without the government as libertarian magical thinking with fairy dust sprinkled on it. Like, oh, without the government, we'd all be dead. You know, but if they just got out of the way, even not to the point of like libertarian anarcho-capitalism of like, if you want to be a doctor, you can be a doctor without certification and the market will decide. Even without going that far, if they just opened it up for healthcare across state lines for competition the way they have with automobile insurance, a young healthy person getting health insurance would cost about as much as their cell phone plan. Literally.
Yeah.
And it's going to cost them more than that. You know, I really don't think it's sunk in with the young Obama voters yet that what Obamacare means is they have to buy health insurance. A lot of them still believe,
I signed up. Buy it, and it's going to cost more than their rent.
Yeah.
There's no way on earth I could afford paying for health insurance under the two Obama healthcare plans that we've looked into on healthcare.gov. They are mind-boggling. I've never seen anything as an expense that would cost me that much on a recurring monthly basis. I don't know how on earth I would ever do that. So when you see all these propaganda about talk to your kids about buying Obamacare, really? I would look at my mom with disgust, and she never would do this, but if she came up to me and said, honey, I really need you to buy that $3,000 healthcare plan a month, I'm like, mom, I barely make that in a month. How am I going to have food and rent and a house? I really don't care about health insurance if I don't have a place to live now, do I?
Yeah. Yeah. Ridiculous. So square, man. So square. So what's a solution? But, you know, there's people that do that a lot better than we do, like Jeffrey Tucker and Stefan Molyneux. And whenever anybody wants to debate me on libertarianism with like actual solutions, and this sounds like a cop out, but it's like, I'm not that guy. I can send you to that guy. But
it's a very libertarian answer, though, isn't it? Is you're not rent seeking. You're not saying I've been destined to be the libertarian answer giver, and I have this degree and that degree, and you must come to me. I have the monopoly on it. No, that's not it at all. You recognize that there's authority, right? The actual type of authority that's actually legitimate, not authority based on government edict, not fiat authority, but recognized market authority, decentralized, distributed authority in the fact of Jeff Tucker and Stefan Molyneux and other people who you've read.
But Jeff Tucker, even, you know, these people are fallible too. Like we really respect him in a lot of ways. But
and they should be.
The final line of Jeffrey Tucker's libertarian brutalism article is like basically you have to pick a side in this argument. And you and I were just immediately like, no, we don't.
Yeah. Paul Bonneau's exact quote was, I think, no, we don't. It was dot, dot, dot. No, we don't. And that's true. No, we don't. We don't have to make any decision one way or another.
It's kind of collectivist coming. It was surprisingly collectivist coming from.
It's a collectivist statement in an article about how we shouldn't be collectivists. You know?
So
nobody's perfect, especially not in their fields of expertise, and that's fine. Nobody should be. And that's not what we're asking for here. I think all that it really boils down to is why have a system where violence is used to keep some people from providing services that other people want to buy? And whenever you have a system where that's the premise it's based on, you have a system where you're going to pay thousands of dollars for the privilege, they would call it, of going to see a doctor that doesn't even make eye contact with you.
And then criticizes you if you smoke.
Utters a few words and then leaves.
Yeah.
And that's worth $1,000 a month?
Yeah.
Or and a then, few thousand dollars? I don't think so.
And then the nurse does whatever the nurse does the real work, basically.
Right. Well, and that's a good point, too. Even in their system, they've recognized that it's costly and inefficient to have everybody who's allowed to do anything with regards to healthcare have to go through the whole doctoral process and the 10 years or whatever and the residencies and this and that and the hundreds of thousands of dollars. They have nurse practitioners and nurses do a lot of the work. That's them implicitly recognizing that it's kind of flawed right now and they're trying to have lower echelons. But instead of having licensing boards deciding all of this and regulators decide all this, the market would have figured all that out in a matter of months, maybe in a couple of years. It would have figured out the different levels of healthcare, the different types of providers, and what they cost. And it probably would be affordable enough to be paid for completely out of pocket, like your cell phone. Your cell phone goes from your pocket to space and back to somebody else's pocket. And that's done for $50 a month.
Yeah, and think about how much the cost of a phone call has come down in my lifetime, during which the government got out of the monopoly business of it. And they're trying to get more in the monopoly business of healthcare and lying and saying, it's going to make everything okay. It's mind-blowing to me that they just lie all day long. Sometimes it's because they don't understand how the world works and they have this backwards economic stuff. But the healthcare thing to me just really looks like a takeover. It looks like a backroom deal. It looks like they're helping the healthcare companies. In my lifetime, like I tell this story a lot, when I was – like 1974, when I was 10, my sister went to South Africa for a year on a Rotary exchange program. We called her once. It cost $10 a minute. It sounded like I was talking to someone down a well. We had to make an appointment with an operator to connect it the day ahead of time. It took her like 4 minutes to connect it. And, you know, my mother made me write down what I was going to say and had an egg timer and let me talk to my sister for a minute because it was $10 a minute in 74 money, which is like, you know, $40 a minute now or something. So literally, you can call Africa now for free on Skype. Literally
not
free.
Not just call. You can video call. Me and you have both done lectures in Africa to a room full of people.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
For free.
Yeah. Yeah, and like for what that phone call cost, you know, you can have a phone in your pocket where you can call free anyone in like America, Puerto Rico, Canada, Guam, you know, any U.S. territory and Canada for free all month, all the time. So that's because the government got out of the way. They used to have a monopoly. They used to have the Bell telephone system, which was, you know, controlled by the government. It was a government monopoly. And They kind of have a monopoly on how healthcare is doled out through a lot of licensure and regulations and not allowing free exchange, you know, competition across state lines in health insurance. But they're trying to get even more of a monopoly now. It's going to be like Bell Telephone, you know, like an aspirin is going to go up to $80.
It's too decentralized now. I think the cat's out of the bag. The genie's out of the bottle. I wish it were that way with healthcare, and maybe one day it will be. We'll have more themes when we get back from this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
All right, everybody. It's Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. We've got Michael W. Dean. We appreciate your finitude. We appreciate your listening. We are at the end, near the end of our time here. This is the last jump in the second hour, the bottom of it. So, Michael, I think you know what time it is. Will you play me in?
Tweak in review.
Ah, yes. For the connoisseurs
iPod,
out there,
my iPod is charging, so I couldn't play the.
Why'd you negate the premise? I was going to say that's the a cappella version. That's the yes. B side. Right. But so tweak and review. This is the part we call it the.
Why'd you point out that I negated the presence? Because
it's a teaching hospital.
Yeah.
Teaching hospital. Yes, don't negate the premise and don't break character.
And it's a non-regulated, non-Obamacare teaching hospital.
Yes, yeah, that's very true. Number one on the Tweak and Review, why the U.S. launched a spy rocket with an Earth-sucking octopus on it. Well, because that's the logo. That's the logo of
They should have one with just a flamethrower pointed at the Earth. Motto should be in Latin, like, we destroy all that's good.
Right. Well, yeah, the motto here is
taking good things and making them bad since 1952.
And what would you say the good thing was? Because I thought the good thing, at least the argument is, the narrative is limited government. This is the ultimate in decentralized governance is the Constitution. Even though it was more centralized than what it was supposed to replace, the Articles of Confederation, somehow people have it in their heads that this was the epitome of decentralization in government and having separation of powers and ambition would check ambition. So how do you square that limited government decentralized plan or fantasy in your head with a logo of a squid or an octopus straddling the earth with its tentacles? Everywhere.
I would basically
the motto is nothing beyond our reach.
Yeah.
How is that limited?
Well, I would also point out the irony of the fact that the first page and paragraph of the Constitution has set up a government that by design violates the Bill of Rights with everything they do as their mission statement.
Yes. And the Ten Commandments if you're on the more Republican side. And here's the thing. My little brother was in town, and he was telling me about how he was reading Fahrenheit 451. And, you know, it's about censorship and book burning. And he said, you know, his teacher got up on the podium or wherever teachers are these days and started going off on this rant about how awful it was. Can you imagine this degradation of free speech? And he said, yeah, she sounded libertarian. I'm like, well, yeah. Often a lot of people, or the majority of people here in the United States at least, they're very libertarian on like one or two. Two issues.
And they're usually not really. I mean, I have heard teachers who will make that kind of argument passionately and then say, you know, there has to be freedom within limits.
in limits. Yeah. Yeah. Because they don't get the fact that freedom is binary. And what I mean is you're free or you're not. And if there's something that makes you less free or not free, I guess I would have to say not free if it's binary, then you're just not free. And that's
it. I'll bet that teachers in favor of Obamacare, most teachers are. I'll bet that teachers in favor of teachers unions, most teachers are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which do not make for freedom for the individual or the student in any way.
Yeah. Well, I've heard it argued that this is one of the fatal flaws of public schooling in some kind of supposed limited government areas. If you have teachers, that's whole livelihood, their paycheck, their cars that they have, their vacations that they get to take with their kids. All of that is paid for by the state, by the taxpayer. Their whole existence is enabled by the fact that there is a government that gets to take enough money from people to pay them a whole living wage.
I've argued with a woman who's a teacher now, who I used to know in person, who was a very libertarian, kind of libertine, you know, like smoked dope and played cello in a weird rock band and was all for freedom if you asked her. And I had a long discussion with her over on a social network one time about, you know, that schools should be all privatized and everything should be homeschooling and there shouldn't be a system in place to keep teachers on the tip where you can't fire them if they're bad, etc. She sounded like I wanted to murder children, and she started using, wow, you know, arguments that were like, you must hate kids, you must hate knowledge, you must hate education.
Yeah. Yeah, that's ridiculous, because that's how they have to justify it in their head. I mean, people react first and then they justify
after the fact.
That's
why it's still a drug war, man. It's a jobs program.
Yeah,
and really a control program.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Go to freedomfiends.com and check us out.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeens.com.